According to research conducted by the University of Arizona, Americans say, on average, about 13,000 words each day. Whew! Now, it might be important to note that women actually do speak a tad more than men. Again, not trying to get you. Not trying to gender stereotype. But according to the research, about 1,400 more words per day. On average. Everybody just chill. We're not going after the ladies. Because it's not just gender. Sometimes it's personality, right? We have some talkers up in here. If you ask my wife about that, you'll know that I probably speak a little bit more than average than other people, right? So, you know, our conversations, which are really mic monologues sometimes, sermonettes that go her way can sometimes be characterized as just verbal vomit. So it's not just gender, it's personality. It's fair. Whatever the case may be, that's a lot of words. We talk a lot. We are in an image-saturated society, right? But words still dominate our lives, major part of them. So Proverbs is going to speak to us today on words, what we say. And we may wonder, like, what is a word? Like, what are words anyway? What's the point of words? What is their purpose? And does God care about our words? Does God have anything to say to us today? What wisdom can we find in the Bible from God's word that would guide our words? I think that's an important question given we say a lot of them. Now, I want to acknowledge something to you here today. There's a lot of brokenness here for me. A lot of brokenness. I think back on my life. I think of some relationships, some interactions, some seasons of life where I've said some things that have been hurtful. And that's created damage in people's lives. Think of my wife, my kids, even my church I go to. There's brokenness there. On the flip side, I've been the recipient of those things. Right? I've been hurt before. People say things that jab or cut and hit hard, accuse. You get the idea. I wonder if some of us identify with that. Some brokenness, some pain that requires healing from the Lord today. But also, let's acknowledge the flip side of that coin. I want you to know I've experienced a lot of redemption here. The fact that I'm preaching, that God would use my voice to speak His word, is something I don't deserve, but it's a work of grace in our lives. I wonder if you've experienced that as well. If not, or if you're yearning for more, it's my hope that there's healing today. And I hope that there's some new health as we approach what we say. That's my hope. And I'm going to read two verses, really a proverb, from Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. We'll reference some other ones along the way. But for whatever reason, this is where I wanted to land today as we hear God's wisdom on our words. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Pray with me. Father, bless the reading and preaching of your word. speak to us and form us and shape us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs actually has a lot to say about words. A lot to say. What's the big deal, right? You think about it from a physiological perspective. Words are simply the result of the brain working with the lungs and the ears and the diaphragm and some vocal cords to create a sound wave. That's it. Words are projected puffs of air. That's all. Just audible air. What's the big deal? It's just words. Our friend Webster gives us a little bit more definition. A word is a unit of language consisting of one or more spoken sounds and their written representation that functions as a principal carrier of meaning. A word is a symbol that we use to convey meaning to someone else. You tracking? Now, we reflect on history, and we see that is truly the case. We think about our own lives as well. But on history, we may acknowledge that our words are symbols that convey meaning, and great leaders have done that. They've used words to bring meaning to a people, to transform a people, to convey meaning that leads people and defines reality for people. Let's have a little pop quiz, all right? I'm going to say the thing that was said, and you're going to tell me who said it. And even that will tell you that words are more significant than you might think. They're more than projected puffs of air because these are historic moments that have etched culture and DNA in a people. Ready? Give me liberty or give me death. Some of you did not listen in history. Who said it? Patrick Henry. All right, you got it. December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. Who said that? FDR. Yeah, okay, look at us. Some smart people. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Jack Kennedy. If I understand correctly, there was an anniversary recently of this. I have a dream. Who is it? Martin Luther King. All right, moving to a different category of life. Let's see if you know this one. Winning isn't everything. It is the only thing. Somebody say amen. Who said that? Vince Lombardi. I heard it, yep. I can hear you. And the rest of the world hears you. And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon. George W. Bush. Friends, words are powerful, aren't they? Conveyors of meaning. And we wonder, well, how powerful really are they? How powerful are words? Well, Solomon tells us. Solomon tells us that words are more powerful than we could ever think or imagine, matter of fact. In 1821, he tells us just how powerful our words are. He tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right then and there, we see that the wise know that their words are not to be underestimated. The wise know that their words are not to be underestimated. They're more than projected puffs of air. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words have the power to bring death. Did you hear that? Listen. Solomon's saying, if you want to hurt people, you want to destroy relationships, you want to kill, then use words. We shouldn't be surprised by that. We go all the way back to the garden. We see that Satan used words to bring death to the human race through sin. He used words. Did God really say? Challenging, questioning the word of God with words to convey meaning, to shape and influence behavior. You will not surely die. An outright contradiction to God's word. Satan uses words to convey distorted meaning, and that brought about a destruction. It brought about death for people. And friends, just like Satan, we know how to use that trick. We know how to use words to deceive. To deceive. So if you want to deceive people, use words. Also, if you want to hurt people, you weaponize them. Words are powerful and they can be leveraged as a weapon. They have the potential to do some serious damage. One award-winning film, The Joy Luck Club, there's this little girl that has this special gift. She was really good at chess and she became a champion at the age of 8. Her only liability was an envious parent who tells her during a fight, "You are nothing. You are nothing at all." And she reflects on this. She says, "What she said to me was like a curse. This power I had, this belief in what I've been given, I could actually feel it draining away. I could feel myself becoming so ordinary. All the secrets that I once saw, couldn't see anymore. All I could see were my mistakes and my weaknesses, and the best part of me disappeared." That crushed her spirit. To hear that from a parent, right? And that's what Proverbs 15:4b says, that a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So if you want to crush someone's spirit, guess what you should do? Use words. Use words if you want to control and manipulate people. Friend, I want to tell you, I grew up, the Maisies were master manipulators. If you don't get what you want from somebody, you say something like this: "You never do anything nice for me. You don't love me." Some of you are like, "Wow, we say those kind of things a lot in our home." Extreme language manipulates some sort of response. Or something like, "We always do everything you want." When you don't get what you want, you can use words to manipulate and control people. We use words if we want to elevate ourselves at the expense of somebody else, right? Gossip, not the easiest to define, but we gossip. We bear bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. And what does that do? It makes us look good and them look bad. It builds community for us and destroys community for them. We elevate ourselves at someone else's expense. If you want to do that, here's a tip: use words. If you want to give vent to your anger, use words. I mean, I think many of us are so busy, we're so overwhelmed, and the truth be told, we may not want to admit this, we don't have the character and capacity to handle all the activity of our lives. That's the core issue. And so we feel this constant sense of too muchness. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. It's too much. It's all too much. And it bottles up and it builds up. And then all of a sudden, it just comes out and it overflows. And we give full vent to the anger, the too muchness of our soul. It's the easy way out. I'm feeling all this. I want you to feel it too. And I'm going to dump it on you. We vent our anger. That's what we do. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, "Anger is always an attack on a brother's life, for it refuses to let him live and aims at his destruction. An angry word is a blow struck at our brother, a stab at his heart. It seeks to hit, to hurt, and to destroy." So if you want to give full vent to your anger, you want to let it out, use words. Friends, words have the power to bring death. Hear that today. Because the wise one knows that their words should not be underestimated. But there is another way. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words also have the power to bring life to bear a different kind of fruit. It doesn't just bring death, it also gives life. Again, to start from the beginning, we shouldn't be surprised by this, right? The Lord literally created everything. How? By speaking it. Let there be. Life came from God preaching a word. And then when everything fell apart with Satan and sin, and believing the lie of the deceiver, how did God immediately remedy this? With a promise, a word, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. That covenant promise, first sign of good news in the Bible, the gospel. There's a word. Ezekiel 37, this valley of dry bones. And what is the Lord doing? He tells Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Speak the word of the Lord. And what does he say he's going to do? I'm going to cover you with skin, put breath in you. You shall live by hearing this word. Words bring life. Jesus is the word made flesh. Amen. And he came to reveal God. He was the great prophet. And Hebrews 1:1-2 says that God spoke to us in former times through the prophets, and in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And that hearing of the word of the Son through the Son is the gospel message. And as people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hear the declaration of the word of God, we are told that regeneration occurs. That spiritually dead people come to life again because of the word. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. God brings life through words. Amen? So if you want to bring life, if you want to give life to other people, use words. We use words to worship God. We offer up this sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that confess his name. When we worship and we sing songs like we've done already, every time people hear that, they overhear your voice singing, and that brings life to those around you. Do you know that? It's not just you and Jesus here. You're with other people, and they hear it. And it encourages and reassures and reminds and instructs your brothers and sisters in the Lord. So worship God with your words. Two, use words to disciple others. Ephesians 4:15 tell us how people grow and mature. It's when the people of God speak truth in love. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, that God has a plan. And that's to use his people who speak to one another the truth in a relationship that is characterized by love. So if you want to disciple one another, you want to grow, use words. Don't just get together and hang out only. That's good, hang out. Don't just talk about the weather and sports and hobbies that you like. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the word of God together. That's what will grow you and mature you. Use words to encourage. There are so many people that are discouraged, that need built up. And he says, Paul says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you want to benefit someone, use words. Use words to proclaim hope to a world lost in sin. Friend, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. No one is going to come to faith in Jesus if we are not speaking the word of the gospel to a world that is lost in sin. That is our mission here at Renovation Church. If you want to fulfill that mission, use words. If you want to reconcile and heal relationships in your life, I would guess that this is where the rubber most meets the road. You're at odds and conflict. You have brokenness in your relationships. God's going to use words and deeds, but words. Words like, I'm sorry. Some of you have a really hard time apologizing when you've done something wrong. And that's why your relationships are broken. You've hurt people. The time has come to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry, as a step toward reconciliation. And some of you are refusing in pride to say, I forgive you. Powerful words of pardon. I forgive you. You want to heal and reconcile relationships? Humble yourself. Say, I'm sorry. Humble yourself at the foot of the cross and see that Christ's cross was sufficient for all sin. That there is a basis for you to look another sinner in the eye and say, I forgive you. Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones, Proverbs 16. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Friends, if you want to heal a relationship, speak, use words. Tell someone I love you. Say thank you. Imagine that. Someone does something nice for you, and you express gratitude. Look at someone that you work alongside of and say, you are a valued member of this team. It's those powerful words that go such a long way to bring life. The wise know their words are not to be underestimated. So what will you do? You got the power. What are you going to do? You going to bring death? Are you going to give life? Well, it depends on what you want. And that's really what surrounds this statement about the power of words. Depends on what you want. Let's read it again. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. Satisfaction. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, you come to the awareness that there's words are powerful, that you can do so much with them. That you, by what you say, are pursuing satisfaction. It's an interesting thing to think about, right? Usually we think about filet mignon, 6 scallops, broccolini, okay, maybe Brussels, little maple syrup on it, right? You get this amazing meal, fingerling potatoes on the side. You put that into your mouth. That sounds satisfying. But what comes out? He says, Solomon says, is what satisfies us. What does he mean? That we want to accomplish something with our words. If we want to hurt somebody and our hurtful word hurts them, guess what? We got exactly what we wanted. And we feel the satisfaction of that. Take that. It's a satisfying thing. If we want to impart life to someone, and we use words, and we see how such encouragement from the Word of God brings tears of joy and hope to them. There's nothing more satisfying than that. So you're going to do what you want, is what Solomon is saying. You want to hurt somebody? You're going to use words, and you're going to taste the fruit of that. You want to give someone love? You want to help somebody? You're going to use words, and you're going to taste the fruit of that. But understand this, as you consider about what decision you're going to make, about how you're going to use your words, understand this, that Jesus says, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. How we use our words is important to Jesus. Remember, they reveal the overflow of our heart, amen? What comes out of the mouth tells us about what's going on inside our heart. Don't take this lightly. Solomon is pointing us to wisdom, to life, to the power and the purpose of words that shape our wise use of them. That's what he's doing. So they are not to be underestimated, friend. But understand, they're not to be underutilized either. You may think, oh, the way forward is to just shut your mouth. Maybe some of us need to shut our mouths a little more. The Proverbs do speak of restraint. But words are not to be underutilized. They're a God-given capacity that God has given us as humans made in his image to communicate. So, the wise one knows that our words are not to be underutilized. We have a responsibility to steward, friend. That words have been given by God to us for his glory, for the good of some other person. And ultimately, because Solomon talks about our satisfaction, as our priorities and desires align with the kingdom of God and the love and truth of Christ, we will also have joy in the use of them. Such tremendous significance for us, for marriage, for family. This has a lot to say to moms and dads about what you say to your kids and how you say it. This responsibility we have to steward has tremendous significance for how we work with other people in our workplace, our coworkers, our bosses, our employees. I think of teenagers. They are growing in their ability to articulate. They have this power now. And they wrestle with maturity. And we can say some of the things I said in my teenage years, what in the world? So I'm saying, be careful, teens. Remember, this gift you have is also an opportunity to be stewarded. Has a lot to say about church members. We're to speak to one another. It's an opportunity that we have. So steward this gift carefully. And second, I think we have an impulse to deny. We still have sin that we're dealing with, right? And that sin comes out in our words. Matthew 12 talks about this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This defiles a person, Jesus says. James talks about the inconsistency. With the same mouth, we praise God, and then we curse men. It would be good for us to humbly acknowledge that we struggle with sinful words. And also, we're living in pain, right? We hurt people. You know why? Because we're hurting people. Hurt people hurt people. We've been preconditioned over the years to protect ourselves with harsh language that push people away and keep them at a safe distance from us. Some of us have become experts at this, sadly. But we're hurt. We need healing. Holding on to bitterness, harboring unforgiveness towards someone. And I pray right now that the cross of Jesus Christ is an event and a symbol above my head in the back that reminds you that Jesus has paid for all of that. It's almost like all of us need to take some time and sit at the foot of the cross and just receive the word that consoles and provides assurance and affection. That gives us a sound basis that God loves us and he's forgiven us of all of our sins and that we would never be held against us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That really Ephesians 2, that he has now become our peace, that has broken down this dividing wall of hostility that exists in relationships, that the cross of Jesus Christ has secured for us an unending and eternal peace. And now we can walk in peace together, pursuing reconciliation and healing in our relationships. You say, but I'm weak. I'm hurt. I'm tired. Well, the wonderful news is we have help and hope. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the word of God, right? A word that has been given to us to speak to us continually, daily, regularly, that reshapes our language, gives us new meaning and ideas that influence the way that we speak and live in relationship to one another. When we're weak, it is the word that feeds us. And friends, we have the Holy Spirit. All those who have placed their faith, hope, and trust in Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit. And now while we have this impulse to sin, it is the Spirit of God that gives us power to defeat that impulse, to deny that impulse. You may think, I can't forgive. Friends, that is also a lie from the enemy. I can't say I'm sorry. That's a lie. I can't pursue reconciliation from that person. That is a false word from a false prophet. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. Don't underestimate the power of your words. And friends, do not underestimate the indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit to set you free, to heal your heart, and to give you all that is necessary to walk in reconciled relationships with others. But I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen? Friend, this is an impulse we must deny. And finally, we have an opportunity to seize. You have this gift. Steward it. You have this impulse. Deny it. You have an opportunity that you must seize. A redemptive opportunity to utilize your words and bring healing to others, to build the kingdom of Christ through what you say as you worship, as you evangelize, as you disciple, as you correct, as you encourage. You are instrumental in someone's life through what you say. God wants to carry out his purposes through his people, his Spirit indwelled, word proclaiming people. Do you know that you can have a tremendous, lasting, sanctifying impact on the life of somebody else? My mentor used to have this motto: no program but time. No book but the Bible. Spend time with people. Speak scripture to them. And you will seize this unique, purposeful, redemptive opportunity to build the kingdom of Christ in this world as we anticipate his return. Amen? Our words are never to be underutilized. Steward it, deny the flesh, and speak into the lives of others, and God will use it. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He's satisfied from the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The wise one knows that their words are not to be underestimated nor underutilized. Amen? Join me in prayer. God, we praise you for your word that speaks to us in our words. Fill us with your Spirit. Heal our hearts from pain. Humble us pursue others and be reconciled. Grant us peace as a people and use us to bring you worship, to form and shape your people, and to preach good news to a world lost in sin. Help us to use our words for the glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.